Yes.
Assalamu alaikum.
All right, but assalamu alaikum. This is Amin Yasir Muhammad with Why They Want You to Be Rich. It's a show about education and business. And my name is Amin Yasir Muhammad, and I have my co-host, Brother Muhammad Tateen, and we're from Los Angeles. We open the show with God's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, this is a show that is dedicated to the Clara Muhammad School System. The Clara Muhammad, you know, the Sister Clara Muhammad School System. And Imam Muhammad's collective buying program, business, collective buying. So, inshallah, that's what I plan to focus on as much as possible, alhamdulillah. And so we're going to talk about that. But first, let's hear from Brother Muhammad Khatib. He's going to give us a talk for about maybe 35 minutes. And I'll be back on, and we're going to talk about the collective buying program, business, Clara Muhammad School, education, and, things of that sort. Oh, okay, Brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Brother Amin. May Allah bless each and every one of us that's on the air today. We want to start today with the opening. And I seek refuge with Allah against Satan and reject the enemy. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We praise Allah. We seek His aid, His guidance, and His forgiveness. Alhamdulillah. Ahmaduhu wa astainahu wa astahdihi wa astaghfiruhu. Wa ashadu anna Muhammad wa ashadu anna Muhammad al Rasulullah. And I bear witness that Muhammad, I bear witness there is no God except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. Pardon the interruption there. We are in a zone here where they have a lot of helicopters, and so we probably don't have to deal with that today. I actually came to a place where I thought that might not happen, but the military is very busy in this area. So anyway, peace be unto you, everybody. We seek Allah's help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. We thank Allah for saving us from a troubling way of life. We Muslims are very fortunate in that we follow Allah's word in the Holy Quran, and we follow the example of His messenger, His prophet, Muhammad, the prayers of peace be upon him. And I should have said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. We're talking about that we believe in Allah, that He is our only Lord, and that we bear witness that He is the one and only. He has no partner. And we also bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger, and the last messenger, the seal of the prophet. We thank Allah that He revealed the Quran to Muhammad and gave us prayers and peace be upon him, and gave us a way of life, showed us a way of life of how to live like a human being and not get caught up in what the world is doing and the craziness and the fancy and the falsehood. We're here today to support Brother Amin, Brother Yasir, and his effort. And I was talking to him last week, and I was saying that he's the only one that's really promoting a how to get wealthy, how to get wealthier, and pointing out people who have been very, very successful in life, and encouraging we Muslims, us Muslims, to get the knowledge that these people have and do more with it so we can get some material wealth. But we have to keep in mind that the reason that we've been guided to this way of life is to have a more than just a material way of life or material wealth, but that we are to go forward with the knowledge wealth, with the faith wealth, with the wealth that shows that we believe in Allah and that we believe that He will pull us up and raise us up, pull us up to a level where we'll be able to do something with the whole creation, with the whole earth. He says that He has made the earth manageable for us, and He has made us leaders over the earth, or khalifa, caretakers, supervisors over the earth. so that we'll see where things go. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot of people to actually run society. It doesn't take a whole lot of people to run the world. Maybe a few thousand knowledgeable people could run the society. And the way that many communities run their society or make an impact on the world is that they have a trusted one. They have people that they trust who know what they're doing. They have people who have knowledge that has them overlooking, seeing farther, and being able to do more than anybody else. And so with those trusted people, they're able to get a lot done. They're able to rule. And so we have to come into a mentality like that. We should have a body of people. I think Imam Muhammad called it the intelligentsia. But we shouldn't just be intelligent people who are just talking. We should be intelligent people who do something with the knowledge. So we want to take this knowledge, and a few hundred of us or a few thousand of us, and we want to learn to work together. We want to learn to trust each other. People who have done very many mischievous things in the world and evil things in the world, they have their select group of people that they trust, and they know they can trust them with millions and billions of dollars, even maybe trillions. And you have people who, you know, who run governments, and they're trusted to manipulate governments or to steer government. They're trusted to handle the finances of the world, you know, the economy and the financial world. They're trusted to run the media, the entertainment aspects sectors of the world. And so these people, you know, they can, and we finance them. They don't have to look for money. The people who know how to collect millions of people and billions of people into groups and collect their dollars from them, you know, like a cow. There are people in the past who worship what they call the golden cow. I call it the cash cow. And there are people who know how to get your money, and then they hand that, the direction and the power and the influence of that money, they hand that over, they hand that leadership over to the people who can think, that select group, that small group. And so, you know, I want people to think about it. When you go to the put your money in the bank, so when you invest in various things, when you buy the movies or listen to the media or invest in various things, you're handing your hard-earned dollars over to a small group of people who use that money to get things done in the world. And they don't try to do the things, them being who I was mentioning a minute ago, being evil people or wicked people. They're not trying to do good things for you. They're just using you. And so you're like a cash cow. You're like an animal that is grown and fed, and you're used. Your power, your wealth, your strength, your energy is used. I heard Imam Muhammad say one time, he said, when you see a dollar, he said, look and see, look for, think about the person who used energy, who put energy into getting that dollar. And he said that you're actually, when people spend, they're spending energy. You heard people say time is money. Well, people's time applied to something equals some sort of production. Well, if the devil can get a control of that and then mash together and get you to trusting where he's coming from or what he's talking about, then that's the concept of the golden cow, the cash cow. You know that during the time of Moses, there were evil ones among him, among his community, who wanted to get control of the community and direct them to the golden cow. They wanted to worship the golden cow. In fact, they said Moses would be worshiping the cow too, but he forgot. And when Moses went to on the mount to communicate with Almighty God, you know, Allah, Moses is the only one that Allah spoke to direct. And when Moses was away from his people communicating with Almighty God, Allah, Moses, peace be upon him, was busy or occupied. He left his brother, Aaron, or we call him Harun, peace be upon him, in charge. And so the devilish people called the Samiri, the devilish person called the Samiri and his little group, they overpowered Aaron
and they were directing the people to put all of their energy together, put all their wealth together, put their jewelry together, or their riches together, and let's make this golden cow. And what they were, what the Samuel was doing was telling the people, give me your energy, trust me with your energy, trust me to guide you, because Moses doesn't know what he's doing, and we can run over Aaron, and we'll worship this instead of worshiping Allah. So instead of obeying what's right, they started a bad habit. Actually, they were doing it before then, but the story about Moses is significant because it makes it memorable and it puts it into religious history, actually how these children of Israel got this way. Anyway, they decided, a group of them decided to disobey Allah instead of obeying the messenger of Allah. So when Moses came back, he was very angry, and he asked his brother, why did you let the people do this? And he said, I couldn't stop them. He said, they came near to overpowering me, to killing me, maybe. And so Moses was very angry, and he banished the Samaria, told him, get out, a curse is on you. And Moses bashed and smashed and destroyed the golden calf. So the concept is that Allah does not want us to chase materialism. He does not want our religious society or our religious community to be following the lust for wealth in the hands of crooked people. But we know that the children of Israel under Moses became very, very, very rich, influential, and powerful because they finally got it through their heads that they have to follow the messenger of Allah. So when we follow Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, it's no small thing that we're doing. We actually are inheritors. We are inheritors of the earth. Allah said that it is he who has made you his inheriting agent. And under Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're doing no small thing, because you have to keep in mind that he's not the leader of a few people. He's the leader of billions of people. Billions. Collectively, we have great wealth and great power. But what we got to do now is have great unity. So that's why I support Brother Amin on this program, because here's a person who is in our community. He's part of the caliphate. When I say part of the caliphate, all of us constitute the caliph, or the caretaker, the one who is can be trusted with the earth, the power of the earth, the wealth of the earth, the direction for the leadership of the earth, for the guidance of people. We're not those who are going to lead the people astray or away from Allah. We're going to obey Allah. And Allah has said in our previous scripture, the Bible, and I say our Bible because it's actually scripture from Allah. Muslims have to be very careful not to reject the Bible or the scripture that came before. In fact, Allah says in the Quran that you have to accept Jesus' teaching called the Injil. You have to accept David's teaching called the Sabur. You have to accept Musa's teaching called the Torah. Otherwise, you're not practicing our religion, al-Islam. So we, and of course, we have to accept the Quran. But we look at the previous scripture in the light of the Quran. Allah says, any who does not judge by the light of what he has revealed, then they are no better than wrongdoers. They're no better than those who rebel. You know, they are astray. So we follow Muhammad because Allah says we will inherit. Now, most people, of course, they're still looking for the money. Where's the money? Where's the money? You don't have the organization together to hold no money or control any money in great amount. But what you're inheriting is the knowledge of the mindset of that few people, might be a few hundred, might be a few thousand. In this case, it's billions. So we should naturally be inheritors of the earth. We should be inheriting the wealth, the money, too. But you've got to get your mind right. And so Shaitan's main mission is to keep your mind messed up, keep your mind messed up, keep you confused, keep you from stepping up above the material, keep you in the animal, and keep you from stepping up above the material into the moral, the mental, the spiritual, the divine. And Allah says that he has given you divine knowledge to be led by. He didn't give you money knowledge to be led by. He didn't give you the Lord knowledge to be led by. And as I said, if you are a good person, then there's nothing wrong with all the wealth in this society being in your hand. You would be an inheritor of the wealth. All praises to Allah. And that's what we're all going to get eventually. The one thing we want to do, brothers and sisters, and start to identify those people in our community who can be trusted with huge amounts of things. Huge amounts of things. Huge amounts of knowledge. Huge amounts of land. Huge amounts of hand power, manpower, people who will support them, because they are followers of truth. They are people who, if the leader has been established, like let's say in this case, we're followers of Imam Muhammad, we're in his association. Being in his association doesn't mean just all day long, Imam Muhammad, Imam Muhammad, Imam Muhammad. No, it means that you identify with someone who has proven by his life, by his deeds, by his knowledge, that we're on a whole brand new footing in a society like this. You know, this is a society that wants to hold us back in many cases because of our color, who want to hold us back because they don't want people who are considered the despised ones or the slaves to inherit land, wealth, or leadership. But Allah has outsmarted them. Of course, we know Allah is smarter than Allah has all knowledge, all power. None can compete with him. But Allah has, and this is like just a figure of speech, Allah has outsmarted them. Allah has outpaced them because he has taken his own knowledge and put it in the hands of the people who used to be the slaves. That's you and I. Put it in, and it's available for everyone. Put it in the hands of the people who will consider less. I think the previous scripture says that the bottom will become the top, or the despised will become like the leaders, right? Yes. We are in a society where if you value what Imam Muhammad talked about, you can use that knowledge to now break through. You can use that knowledge to be part of the highest mind on the planet, the highest mind in this land. And I know that's a lot. That's a lot to say for some people because they still back in the old developments and in the old days. Imam Muhammad's leadership constitutes a development. But I'm going to tell you something. Imam Muhammad said, and in fact, he wasn't the first one to say it, even Prophet Isa, alayhi salam, said it 2,000 years ago. He told his companions, his disciples, he said, you will do greater works than me. Now, brothers and sisters, if we can't do greater works with the knowledge that Imam Muhammad left us, something's wrong with us. And on top of that, you have to keep in mind that Imam Muhammad doesn't have all knowledge. Allah has all knowledge in the Holy Quran. And it's Allah's knowledge that made Imam Muhammad. He used to talk all the time about him being the divine mind and the power of divine mind and the movement and the strength and the inheritance of divine mind. So divine mind means the knowledge that Allah has, and it's in the Holy Quran. And he used to show pictures of his pictures of himself with the Quran across his forehead. In fact, our flag has the shape of, it's like if you look at the top of the head and just across the like the from the eyebrows up, you'll see that the book looks like eyebrows, and you see the rays coming up from the book, and it looks like the top of the head. And he said one time, he said you have to act like you're a king. He said a king is a ruler. And he said, every ruler has to have a kingdom. And he said, your head is like the dome, king dome, and inside your head is supposed to be knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Allah's knowledge in the Holy Quran first. And then he made a statement one time where he said, every knowledge, every truthful knowledge, every knowledge is a mercy from Allah. So we should be getting the knowledge. So in time, yes, we'll develop bankers, we'll develop finance people, we'll develop the great politician, we'll be great, develop the great writers and leaders and cultural people and media people. We'll develop that. But the first, and we want them to, but we want them to be great people and good people, clean people, honest people, moral people, purified people, strong people, people of great faith, the greatest faith. So we'll inherit. We're inheritors. We're inheritors. But we've got to see that the greatest inheritance is to get this knowledge and to use this knowledge and to trust each other with it, and then to start trusting people. When I trust people like Brother Amin, what the things that he's doing, he's just one example. He's just a small example of something very, very big. we're developing. He's one of those persons who's using media. We're talking on the radio. The reason you can't see me, but you can hear me. You can see me in your mind because of what I'm saying. You can see where I'm going. You can see. You can take my temperature. See what my attitude is. Right. The height. You can see what my height is based on what I'm talking about. Brothers and sisters, we want people that we can take this great knowledge and this great vision, this great height, this ability to see from our perch, way up here. Allah's pulled us up. We want to be able to trust people like Brother Amin in his field. Now, I know there's people who are going to come who are into culture. There's people who are going to come who are great in education. He's in that, too. There's people who are going to come who are the business people. He's into that. There's people who are going to come that are the politicians, whoever. Whoever we trust, whoever we can trust or identify that is a trustworthy person, a good person, a smart person, an effective person, a busy person, a person who is just dedicating his whole life to our advancement and development, that's what we need to compete with the people who are running the world right now. And we should give them all of what we can, whatever we can spare, and it shouldn't be a small thing. We should be able to trust them with millions, billions of dollars. We should be able to trust them with millions and billions of dollars, and we have the law. We have the law to protect us. So if people steal our millions and billions of dollars, you better believe we're going to be looking for them, and we won't be looking to give them a spanking either. It'd be very serious. You think you can steal from these secret orders and these people who have great power in the world and get away with it? Of course not. So we have to become that way too. But we have to have people that we can trust, and those people will do what we need to get done as a community of Muslims in this society to make progress. We don't want to be just talkers and we change our names or whatever, but we're still suffering the same indignities and humiliation and slavery and setbacks and all that. We're asking our sisters and brothers to work together as a family. We're asking our sisters, because they're being called so much, you know, speaking of the time of Moses, Pharaoh said, I'll slay their men, I'll kill their men, I'll retire their men, I'll mess their men up, I'll get them to disappear. That's all of what he's saying when he says he'll slay somebody. I'll destroy them, I'll set them back, I'll hold them down, I'll cripple them, I'll enslave them, I'll kill them. I'll kill the men, children, but I'll let the women go free. So in this society, you see that the number one thing facing our community, of the people of color, black, so-called black people, African people, the people of the ex-slaves, the number one target is to get the woman. They want to use the woman to destabilize and to actually destroy the family. Destroy the family, destroy, when they destroy the family, they destroy the future. They want the woman to talk about what the society says is the way to go. They want the society, they want the woman to be hanking after and appreciate the fact that Pharaoh, the Pharaoh of the society, the big secret devils, they want the woman to appreciate that she doesn't have to suffer like that man suffered. She don't have to get beat down in the street. She don't have to get lynched. She don't have to get, yes, there's lynching going on. Maybe not physically, but there's shooting, you know, because slavery is still going on, but Muslims are not supposed to be victims of that. So the Muslim sister, she should be just as faithful to Allah as the man is. She should be just as learned in the Quran and the ways of Muslim life and following Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the man is. And that woman, being the first teacher of the children, being the one that Allah gives the children to, coming out of her stomach and coming into the world, if they can undermine her or control her, then they control our children. I heard Imam Muhammad say that if they can get your woman, if the woman is weakened, he said there's no hope for man. That was one of the statements he made. We have to start thinking like Imam Muhammad thought, but don't stop at Imam Muhammad. Don't stop with him, because there's things happening today. The world is changing all the time. There's things happening today that Imam Muhammad didn't have to deal with in the great amount that we have to deal with it today. He didn't have to deal with it. In fact, our families were in much better shape during his lifetime when he was alive. So we should continue his traditions, and we shouldn't throw away anything that we know that he promoted and that he established and that we know he believed in. And number one he believed in is establishing the Quran. to make sure that we got a mind that we don't have to look across the water for leadership with. We don't have to look across the water for leadership. In fact, I heard Imam say right out of his mouth one time, I used to travel with him, he said, "We're not the lapdog of the people overseas." That's what he said. He named them by their race, so I'm not going to go into that. But he said, "We're not the lapdog of people over there." No. So we need imams. We need sheikhs. But I don't want to be imam or sheikh. In fact, I'm so independent. I tell people I've established my own colony. But I'm still in association with Imam Muhammad, because that doesn't mean I have to be at every masjid that he established or call his name all the time. But his thinking, if you can think rightly, then you're alive. If you're not thinking rightly, then you're not alive. So all of the people that say they appreciate Imam Muhammad, then they're saying to me, may Allah be pleased with him, they're saying to me that they appreciate his thinking, they appreciate his logic, they appreciate his direction, they appreciate his faith, they appreciate his faith in the Quran and his following of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who did not give up under the greatest and the worst stress, the greatest and the worst persecution that a prophet ever had to go through. Prayers to Allah and peace be upon him. He went through more than any even messenger of Allah, any prophet ever had to go through, and that's why he's called Khair al-Mursaleen, for the best of the messengers. Brothers and sisters, we have to have this knowledge now, and we have to, Imam Muhammad said, you have to be unorthodox in your movement. If Satan knows your pattern, but your pattern is good, he knows your pattern, then you have to be thinking and thinking and thinking and saying, well, what is plan B? What is plan C? And you're moving through this society, you're trying to get around people who will purposely hold you back, or based on your race, based on where you grew up at, based on your sex or whatever. And so we have to be able to get around it based on your wealth, you know, and based on your educational level or level of understanding. And they're constantly, the wicked ones, the children of the devil, are constantly using the people as a cash cow to raise funds and continue to rule. You know, look at how we're paying for our own debt when we buy drugs. You know, they're one of the biggest and quietest. Now, they got the bullets. We're buying guns and bullets. That's cash cow. We're acting like a cash cow buying guns and bullets and shooting up the place. That's a loud death. Drugs are very quiet death. They sneak them into the community, and people pretty much quietly and sitting there in their area, or you see them maybe hiding in the back of a car or somewhere in the alley or something and taking the drug. But there's billions and billions of dollars being spent on drugs. One of the things that everybody seems to overlook, or they look away. They look away from the destruction that drugs have caused. Drugs have impacted every family in the society, and I would say definitely every family in the Western world. There's some societies in the East and in Asia where you better not get caught with even one marijuana stick, or yo, they're going to shoot you, they're going to kill you, because they refuse to let drugs come in and destroy their people. They refuse. But the drugs are arming the cartels, armies of people who, they talk about the people overseas cutting off here. These cartels, they found, they say, the biggest body dumping ground anywhere ever known over in Mexico. This week, Google it, and you'll see over there. But they just found heads and dismembered bodies and all. Now, here we are saying that we got a friendly neighbor. But our friendly neighbor, and I know there's a little squabble going on right now, but this friendly neighbor's been doing this, allowing this, the government of the friendly neighbor's been allowing this stuff to go on for years and years and years, where they can't control their criminal population. They don't have a death penalty. And when you, like Imam Muhammad say, you got to keep a check on a naughty child. So here you are, got all these naughty people, wicked people, with no death penalty, feeling no consequence for their behavior, then what you think is going to happen as they spill over? And I know some people who live in the Southwest, you already are seeing it, different kinds of crimes that you never heard of before. You never heard of them happening here. But they're going to be coming because of people still using the drugs. So I'm glad they're closing up the border. I'm glad that we have the hardcore type of leadership now. And, you know, as Muslims, we don't get caught up. We're not getting caught up in the political thing to the point that we start going crazy over who is the president. Because the president of our community, the president of our leadership, the president of our life is Prophet Muhammad. As a human, peace be upon him. And higher than that is Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Your ties should be with Allah. That's what the angel said. My ties with you, Allah, not with them. So, brothers and sisters, don't get caught up in the fake politics or the fake culture or the fake media or the fake education or the fake whatever. Don't get business. Don't get caught up in that. We as a community have to now wake up and realize our identity and respect our identity and respect people whose heads are above the clouds who are thinking outside the box. Like Imam Muhammad said, think differently. You can't think like the people of the world. Allah warns us about that. And every week I say, Allah says in the Quran, if you were to follow the people, the common run of the people, if you follow the pagans, and you know they got a pagan holiday coming up real soon. Hopefully I got 5 more minutes to talk about that. But if you follow the common run of the people, they will lead you away from the way of Allah. They do nothing but guesswork. You know, man-made thinking, man-made rules, whims. I call them whimsical. They're sick with their whims, whimsick. Man-made rules and laws and ways. I mean, if you walk down the street and you hate a man because of what he looks like, you hate a man because he comes from a different land and you don't know anything about him, that's insanity. That's criminal mentality. You talk about crimes against humanity, drugs and hating people for no reason, those are criminal acts against human beings, crimes against humanity. Brothers and sisters, we've got to get smarter. We've got to get wiser. This day that's coming up soon where they celebrate the death, they say, of a messenger, you've got to get smarter and wiser than that. What they're inviting you to is to be afraid of cannibalism, be afraid of the image or the idol or the religion of cannibalism, of eating flesh and drinking blood. The religion that tells you that it's so, that the God is material, that God is man, that God can be killed, that God is weak, that God can be hated, that God can come among men and be ruled. No. It's a fake. It's fake. And the Muslims have to realize that. I know you go out in the street and you talk to your relatives, a different one, and you try to convince them, and they say, oh, you Muslims are crazy and blah, blah, blah. And look how widespread Catholicism and the statue worship and other things are. So it looks so real. But that's how the devil does it, is he makes something so widespread, and he is so bold. And Allah says, look what boldness they show for the fire. Look what boldness they show for corruption. Look what boldness they show for the thing that breaks people's minds to pieces, breaks their hearts to pieces, breaks their spirits to pieces. Allah says, there's a fire that breaks to pieces. So they want you to be afraid of their idols and their images, and they want to get you caught up in it, and you get some of your closest relatives are in that way of life or in that religion. And they might scorn you, they might talk against you, they might tell you you're crazy. But the important thing for the believer is to keep realizing that we are Muslims. We are in a different way of life. We're in the real way of life. We're in the original way of life. Our religion is the religion that the trees and the animals and that the air, the earth, that the light and the waters are made of. Our religion is the same, Deen al-Fitr. So we're our brothers and sisters, and we can't trust the humans, then our brothers and sisters, we can see the trees and the nature. We can see nature. We're made out of nature. And we can be true to nature. The tree is not doing anything crazy. The animals are not practicing homosexuality. So when the people get so crazy that animals are not taking drugs, when the people get so crazy that they don't want to do right, when they get so crazy they want to follow the Samaria, the Shaitan, they want to follow the voice of materialism in society instead of following Allah, who will give you everything. If you respect Allah, Allah said in the Quran, if you strive for the hereafter, then he'll give you the hereafter and this life. But those who just strive for this life, he'll give them somewhat of that, but they will not get the hereafter.
Brothers and sisters, there's a lot we can say. That's one quick point, again, about the day that's coming up. Be careful. It doesn't matter if you were going to be left alive, but everybody else was going to be murdered. Let's say a bunch of people were kidnapped. And if somebody says, I'm going to leave you alive, would you say, no, murder me too, since we're in a group? So we don't want to have that cattle mentality where just because everybody else is practicing something, we practice it too. No, we have our own way of life. You have told your creator who made your flesh, who made your life, who made your consciousness. You have promised to him that you would obey him and follow the way, the clear way, the way that you see works. The way that works and has been working for the messengers of Allah all the way from Adam, all the way through Muhammad to Muhammad, and even today. We're following what Muhammad taught over 1,400 years ago, and there's billions, there's over a billion of us, nearly 2 billion actual followers who say that they're Muslim. And then there's the people who are influenced by our lives. Let us follow what's right. Let us obey Allah. I appreciate Brother Amin for giving me the opportunity to come on his program today. He's doing a really good thing. If you want to get in touch with me, call me at 310-925-3945. And you can, if you send me your cell phone, email address, if you send me your email address, I'll send you out some of my lectures. I have over 3,000 lectures that I've done on various subjects, and inshallah, we'll get you out some lectures that you can listen to. Send me your email address because the file is too big to send through a text. The text cannot accommodate that. So make sure you send your email address, and then I'll email you some of my talks. And inshallah, we hope you like them. But when they say that Isa or Jesus is dead, remember that Allah said in the Quran, they killed him not. They killed him not, though it was made to appear. So they've used their tremendous media, their big media, to lie to the world and say that they killed Jesus, but they did not kill him. But they are also using their media to teach their religious media, their cultural media. They're spreading it all around the world to teach that he's a statue and to teach that if you really love him, then you should drink his blood and eat his flesh. They don't know what Imam Muhammad taught us, that blood just means nutrient, spiritual. It means spiritual life. The blood spreads spiritual nutrients to yourself, to your life. And that the body, is eating his body, just means studying his wisdom, accepting or consuming his wisdom. If you live Jesus' spirit, if you have a spirit like him, in fact, one of his titles is the spirit from Allah, Ruhullah. Ruhullah. Another name or title of his is Kalimatullah, a word from Allah. This is right in the Quran. So, and those are verses in the Quran. Study it. Look at it. You'll see. So if we follow Jesus' spirit, which they debased it down to the word blood, and if we follow his body, what knowledge did he have? He had divine knowledge. He had divine knowledge. His Quran was not called Quran, but his Quran was called Injil. And so we accept those teachings. We just study those things or look at those things in the light of what Allah has revealed. So if we find anything from the previous revelation or scripture and we see that it's not in line with what the Quran said, then we have to reject it. Anyway, brothers and sisters, I'm going to go. And Brother Amin, we appreciate you. Thank you again for inviting me here. Tomorrow I'll be speaking at UCLA, and so anytime that you want to get some of my lectures, please call me. My number again is 310-925-3945, 310-925-3945. it'll be better to text me your email address, and then I can send those things out to you. Thank you again. May Allah bless each and every one of you. And Brother Amin, are you there, sir?
Yeah, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Okay, so thank you again, my brother, and may Allah bless you. We're going to support you, and I'm encouraging everyone to trust you with wealth that they can, some contributions to what you're doing. You need equipment to buy, and you're dedicated to making sure you're the only one in this community that I know of who is promoting Muslims getting their hands on and learning of the learning. That's learning the strategies and the tools for accumulating great wealth, and then we can turn around and do big things in society.
Alhamdulillah. Muhammad, thank you very much. That was a beautiful talk, a beautiful lecture. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. This is Amin Yasir Muhammad. If you want to reach me, you could, I'm going to give you my email address right now. It's Muhammad, M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D, at dslextreme.com. That's Muhammad, M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D, at DSL, that's like Dave, Sam, Larry, Extreme, extreme.com. If you want to, at some point, we shall have, inshallah, we shall have the capacity to take calls and listen to you. And, you know, listen to your comments, your contribution. And I'm looking forward to that. Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. Imam Muhammad, Imam W.D. Muhammad, really came to us. We are really a blessed people if we heed his advice, his recommendations, if we obey. He was led by Allah through the Holy Quran, from the Holy Quran, and his study and teachings of our Prophet Muhammad, alhamdulillah. He, Imam Muhammad, came into great wisdom and insight and knowledge, you know, about the human condition, especially our condition here, as descendants of a slave population, and our existence in Africa before we were brought here as slaves, alhamdulillah. So Imam Muhammad dropped a heavy, heavy message on us, and we should heed it. He's not just like anybody else. He's a brother who is blessed by Allah, you know, and he came to really help us and benefit us greatly. And I really do believe that. Alhamdulillah. This show was motivated, or it was kickstarted by Imam Muhammad in 2006. Said that he was very impressed with a book that came out that he read. And it was a book entitled Why We Want You to Become Rich. And Imam Muhammad talked about the people who wrote this book. It was a Caucasian man and an Asian man. And he was talking about our President Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki, who is the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and a lot of other books. He really became very known and famous through his being on the Oprah Winfrey Show sometimes in the 90s. And so Oprah interviewed him and got some of his ideas. And from there, Robert Kiyosaki has written many other books, maybe 20, 25, 30 books. And has invented board games that teach people and children to how to be financially literate, to have a financial IQ. He says that the school system deliberately did not teach us, about me and you, about money, you know. And that was a deliberate thing. We don't really know anything about the history of money, the history of the banking system in the United States. All we know is we work or have to pay bills, and you know, we get a paycheck and we need money, and we go from month to month, you know, year to year, you know, chasing the book. That's a lot of people's life. But we never really had a chance to learn about money, where it comes from, what it's all about, you know, who controls the money, you know, how they control the money, who prints the money, how they print the money. All these things Robert Kiyosaki has addressed in his books. Well, he wrote a book also with Donald Trump, Why We Want You to Be Rich. And Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki, are trying to teach poor people, middle class people, just anybody who's interested, how to be rich. So the imam really took note of this, because he says that if poor people from our, like, you know, like in our community, you know, we're not a rich people. It's certain people in our community have, you know, lots of money, but as a whole, our community is not a rich community, I would say. So Imam Muhammad was looking to turn us on to this book, Why We Want You to Be Rich, by Robert Kiyosaki and Donald Trump, because he says we need wealthy people, rich people in our community, because if we develop, or the people through having knowledge develop, people into people who have lots of wealth, it could really help our community, because these people with their wealth would help other people in their families and community, and we could become a self-sufficient people, a prosperous people, you know what I mean, and live a life that we have not been living as a group of people, especially the Muslims, because the imam was addressing the Muslims at the time. This was March 2nd, 2008, about 6 months before it passed. If you want to see this video, if you want to read about it, I think I may have a transcribed copy, but I know the video is there. You go to my Facebook page, which is New Africa Space Code and STEM Academy. New Africa Space, like the space race, like, you know, the space program. Code, CODE. Code is a shortcut for computer science, and STEM Academy. So STEM is acronym for science, technology, engineering, and math, something that Imam Muhammad really was a student of, really loved science and technology as well as the formal religion of Al-Islam, we know, even though all those things are part of our religion, just part of our religion, alhamdulillah. So Imam Muhammad talked about that and the book, Why We Want You to Be Rich. And when I brought this up a couple months ago to the community, another Blog Talk Radio show, everybody seemed to be getting caught up in the Never Trump hysteria, and that the media is waging on him. Everything he says, they try to spin it and make him look like a complete idiot. But I'll tell you what, anybody who could accumulate, $3.5 billion, they say, $3.5 billion, please believe he's not a stupid man. Please believe. If you believe somebody could accumulate $3.5 billion, knowing this system, having to learn this American system, this economic system, this financial system, if you think that man is not a very intelligent man, I don't know what you've been as the, excuse me, I don't know what you've been smoking. So don't be carried away by the LGBTQ propaganda and efforts against him and the gay lobby and all these other, you know, please don't do that. Don't be carried away with this anti-Trump hysteria. He's not a politician. He's not polished and debonair and like, you know, Barack Obama, you know, former President Barack Obama. He's not a well-spoken politician. He's a businessman. And I don't know if he cares, but, you know, beware of people who are, you know, debonair and very polished and slick, and, you know, they may endorse the same-sex marriage. So, alhamdulillah. Imam Muhammad alerted me to this book and his efforts to do something for our community. And so education. One of the things that really stuck out with me about President Trump was his stance against abortion, because Allah says in the Holy Quran, kill not your children for fear of want. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but Allah says, I'll care for you and for them. Killing your children is a great sin. So I says, well, Imam Muhammad says that Donald Trump is a good-hearted human. Well, look at what he did 2 months ago, or about, well, 6 weeks ago. He signed a federal law that no more federal funds could be used to give abortions. So, in a sense of speaking, just in one stroke, Imam Muhammad is right. He's a good-hearted person, good-hearted human, Imam Muhammad says. Go to my Facebook page. You'll see what he said. He's a good-hearted human, him and Kiyosaki. He's saving the babies right there. He's saving the babies, you see, where those other people heartlessly will abort a baby at 8 months and 9 months. Some of the babies are actually crying while the doctor is injecting them, or, you know, sucking out their brains, or whatever, however that those procedures are. I'm not too far away. You know, some of the babies are crying and sucking their thumb while they are being aborted, while they're being killed. So, you know, Donald Trump, he's trying to protect all the citizens in the United States, including the unborn. So he's a good-hearted human right there. I like him for that alone. You see what I mean? So alhamdulillah. So Imam Muhammad was kind of on. He's a good-hearted human. Since 1973, when Roe vs. Wade came out, according to this article I've read, 17 million abortions have been performed since 1973. 17 million, and the bulk of them African American abortions. So our daughters and sons are using abortion as a form of birth control. You know, birth control. So it's a horrendous thing. I got the article. I emailed me. I got the article somewhere around here. I can't reach it right now. You can read it yourself. Oh, they're talking about Google. What's the name of this group, this big group, this African-American group that is really protesting a lot of the shootings and everything? What is that? Black Lives Matter. The article is entitled something about Black Lives Matter doesn't really look at Black abortions. Do black abortions matter? Something like that. Black Lives Matter is overlooking, black babies being aborted. You know what I mean? Are they really Black Lives Matter? How about those lives also? Alhamdulillah. So, even though Donald Trump talked about same-sex marriage, he said, well, it's a law of the land when he was campaigning. He says it's a law of the land, but him and those conservative people, you know, they're not going to let same-sex marriage stand. They're going to do all they can. Those religious people, big Christian people, big churches, big huge, you know, Billy Graham types, you know what I mean, are not going to let that st- stand. He's conservative. Same-sex marriage? Oh, give me a break. Oh, no. You know, and they're going to put this Judge Gorsuch on there so he could be a vote against it, too, because it's going to go up. To, you know, they got Sotomayor, the Latina federal judge. She's a liberal. It's about four extremely liberals who are in favor of same-sex marriage and abortions and stuff like that. So, you know, Trump is trying to get conservative judges on there to overturn that. You know, so that's what the fight is on too. That's why they're talking about they're going to filibuster, you know, Judge Gorsuch, and you know, because they don't want him to get up there and overturn the same-sex marriage and abortions. You know, Allah says that's Pharaoh. You know, Pharaoh. Allah says he slayed the female, just like Muhammad was saying earlier. Slay the female. Slay the male. Let the female live. In other words, you know, slay the masculinity in society. Slay the masculinity and let this femininity rule and reign. When actually, you know, we need a balance. We need male and female, male and female. But what they want, same sex, they want, you know, that's Pharaoh, classic Pharaoh, you know. And, you know, us from our community, these are basic teachings that we've learned from Imam Muhammad many years ago. I'm so surprised at so many of us getting so carried away with this LGBT and, you know, abortion crowd propaganda, you know, and they have lots of money. They have lots of money. I'm so surprised, you know. So Imam Muhammad talked about Donald Trump, and Robert Kiyosaki, alhamdulillah. Then another thing I like about President Trump's agenda is his stance on education, especially for our community, the Claire Muhammad school system, and I really, really want and trying to start a Claire Muhammad school here in Los Angeles. We had it, but it's no longer here, the Claire Muhammad school. We don't have a Claire Muhammad school. We don't have a Claire Muhammad school that encompasses our heritage, the history and the struggle of Honorable Elijah Muhammad to establish al-Islam and his wife to establish the University of Islam and the imam's pronouncements and words about education. We don't have that type of school that is from our New Africa way of thinking, New Africa, you know what I mean? Our community, you know, the community of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Clara Muhammad, and Imam W.D. Muhammad, and even Farad Muhammad. We've come a mighty long way. Allah's blessed us, brothers and sisters. Imam Muhammad said that the purpose, go to my website again, go to my Facebook page, he says that the purpose of the revelation of the Holy Quran is to eventually lead us toward the exact sciences. Imam Muhammad was a student of science, big time, tremendous student of science, you know, and technology. You know, he didn't get the education. He couldn't, you know, get the education to do it, but he knows that's so Islamic for us to study Allah's creation, which science is, you know, the study of Allah's creation. That's what it is. So it's all science is. And mathematics is just a way to measure Allah's creation that Allah blessed certain people to come up with. Well, we need to know Allah's creation, you see. That's what science is. That's all science is, you know. To study his creation, the universe, not only the sun, the moon, stuff, but the whole universe, all of that is Allah's. And that's what science is, you know. A way to study Allah's creation. Alhamdulillah. I was thinking at the school that I'm affiliated with now, they had an article, alhamdulillah. I was thinking about, I always think about the curriculum, the things that I would teach, giving the guidance of Imam Muhammad. If I had a Claire Muhammad school and I want to start a Claire Muhammad school and I want you to help me, support me, no matter where you are. Alhamdulillah. If you don't do no more, if pray for me. Pray for me out here in Los Angeles. Pray. Make salat. Put me in your dua that we create Clair Muhammad School. You know what I mean? You help me. Help me that way. You know. And alhamdulillah. It's a little article called The Age of Exploration. And just a little thing that this class that I'm affiliated with had as a lesson. It says the age of exploration. It says for thousands of years, people have been fascinated with world exploration and discovering new places and cultures. Historically, one of the most efficient ways to navigate the world was traveling by sea. From the ancient Greeks to medieval Spanish kings, exploration was a major goal for governments because it offered the prospect of new commercial operations and trade routes. For example, Spanish ships could sail to China and bring back Chinese spices and silks, which were unavailable on mainland Europe, to sail to Spanish markets. Early explorers relied on navigational systems called dead reckoning, or calculating their position based on previous position like land masses and their estimated velocity and drift to make sure they did not veer off course. However, this method was an inexact science. As exploration became more important for Europe's economic interests, advanced devices that made exploration easier and more exact were developed. You know, they're especially talking about pre-Columbian, before Columbus, making of ships King Henry the Navigator. King Henry the Navigator was one of the first ones. He worked for Portugal. King Henry the Navigator. But I'll read this article. We'll talk a little bit about Prince Henry the Navigator. He said Age of Exploration marked a new frontier for sea navigation. This epoch began in the 15th century, that's like 1400s, when Portugal and Spain started to expand their commercial interests and trade routes across the oceans, resulting in the exchange of goods and sometimes even traditions. Sailors used new technology. This is in 1400s now. Sailors used new technologies to navigate across the world, including a device called the quadrant, a fan-shaped magnetic object that measured the altitude of stars, the moon, and the sun in order to determine the latitude of a ship. Another device was the compass, which used Earth's magnetic poles to point navigators north, south, east, and west. Timekeeping devices like the hourglasses were important in calculating how far and how fast a ship had sailed. Early navigators also used maps, although these were not always accurate and were often written during the course of the exploration. These maps were then improved upon with new explorations. So these were the young Europeans coming out of Europe, especially Portugal and Italy and Spain, you know, on these ships, and they used these very crude inventions of science to help them. It was an exciting time to be an explorer. Governments would pay men to navigate ships across the open seas and discover new lands. One of the most famous explorers was Christopher Columbus, the Italian navigator who set out to find a more efficient route to India and instead stumble upon what is now Central America and South America. At the time of his sailing, Columbus only had a few navigational instruments available to him, including a compass and astrolabe, a device that predicted the location of stars and helped explorers determine their latitudinal or vertical position on a globe, a quadrant, and incomplete maps. Columbus's incomplete knowledge of world geography and the imprecise navigational devices he brought with him caused him to inadvertently discover the Americas and all the rich natural resources available there. You can imagine the difficulty explorers had with the available technologies during Columbus's time. When you think about Columbus's experience, he meant to travel from Spain to India, which we now know would have required him to sail first west, then south, then north. Instead, Columbus traveled west and believed he had reached the farthest place from Spain. Just a little bit more and I'll make my point. The complete opposite side of the world, India. On one hand, the tools and accuracies the tools and accuracies made exploration by sea inconsistent and unpredictable. On the other, explorers at the time had limited knowledge of the world's geography, which also hindered exploration of unknown territory. These issues, along with the financial risks involved, made it difficult for some governments and kings to agree to fund explorations during which their navigators could become irretrievably lost. Just a little bit more. As time went on, more European countries began to explore the world. In the late 17th century, Great Britain joined the navigational tool race, developing modern tools such as the sextant and a chronometer, which replaced tools used by the earliest explorers. The sextant was used to measure the angles between the horizon and the celestial objects in order to determine the ship's latitude. Longitude was nearly impossible to calculate until the invention of a chronometer, an accurate timekeeping device. These modern inventions arrived after much of the world had already been explored, but it allowed ships' captains to cut down the length of time they were at sea and improve accuracy in route planning. Okay? So these Europeans were using science and technology to guide those ships and to go on voyages across unknown seas, even though we do know of certain, Ivan Van Sertima wrote books about certain kings of Mali traveling from Africa, from West Africa to the Americas before that. But it was a school of learning that Prince Henry the Navigator had in Portugal, where he had these young Caucasians to go to those schools, learn how to read those maps, learn how to master those tools in order to start explorations. Now, what has this got to do with us? You know, Imam Muhammad talked about science and technology. Prince Henry, in his school, he started sending these young people down voyages from Portugal, you know, Lisbon, Portugal, down the coast of Africa. And he went down a little bit, a few miles or 100 or tens of miles down the coast of Africa, and he met the peoples, the coastal peoples in Africa, and he went back and he reported what he had seen. And then they started sending out more ships to go even further down the coast of Africa, a little further down. And they turned around and got the information and learned who the people were. The peoples on the coast of Africa about this time in the 1300s and 1400s were tribal peoples. They weren't Muslim. Like I talked about in my book, the Muslim people were like inland around the rivers. Like Imam Muhammad said, and Imam Muhammad was one of my main guides in writing my book. I wrote a book called Afrocentricity Minus Al-Islam Chief, and it was about how the Afrocentric movement lied and distorted Islamic history in order to paint a disparaging picture of Al-Islam in order to keep our people away from Al-Islam. The Afrocentric movement, Dr. Ben Yacaman, John Henry Clark, Chancellor Williams' book. I wrote that book called Afrocentricity Minus Al-Islam Chief. Well, anyway, as Prince Henry, I laid this out in my book, as Prince Henry started going down the coast of Africa, you know, month after month and year after year, those explorers went down, and pretty soon they had a pretty good knowledge of who were the inhabitants of the coast of Africa. And then after maybe 100 or so years of them going down the coast and going back to the universities and learning centers in Europe, pretty soon Columbus and other explorers from Spain and other countries needed slaves. They needed slaves to work the land that they were finding in the so-called New World. So it was the technology and science that Prince Henry, the navigator of Portugal, used and taught these young Caucasians, these young Europeans, and they started going down the coast of Africa, learning about the coastal peoples, these tribal peoples, not the non-Muslim peoples, but tribal peoples, And pretty soon when Columbus needed slaves, they were Johnny on the spot. They knew about the coastal peoples. And according to the history of, as I read it, they armed these coastal peoples with guns and rum. Du Bois talks about it. If you go to my book, I document this, and I give you sources. Du Bois and other historians say how the coastal peoples were into rum and guns, another thing that these Europeans brought them in order to go and take their guns inland, make war on the Muslim people, and bring them out, put them in chains, and put them on the coast of West Africa and put them on ships. Muslim peoples, into the Congo River and the Nile. We were river people. Imam Muhammad said we were river people. We lived around rivers. And so these coastal people were non-Muslim people. These are tribal people, as they say, African traditional religious people. You know, I mean, they were armed and given lots of booze and guns and alcohol and just a crazy thing to go in and make war on the Muslims. And I try to document that as much as possible. But I'm trying to get at the science and technology that enabled these Europeans to do this, eventually do this. The same science and technology that we have to master as a community. This is what Imam Muhammad said. Because when people master the sciences, they're going to dominate. They're going to dominate over people who are just crude people who don't really know anything, you see? And this is what the Clara Muhammad schools have to adopt. You know, we should be a scientific-based school system, Clara Muhammad school system. Of course. Our basic philosophy is the Holy Quran and the life, the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad. Of course, the Arabic language, you see, the Arabia and the Fusha. You know what I mean? And the grammar, you know, we should master the Quranic languages best we can, of course. But, you know, from there, like Imam Muhammad says, the purpose of the Holy Quran, the purpose, he says, of the revelation of the Holy Quran is to lead us towards the exact science, you see? So this is a tremendous idea that the Imam has given us because he got it from the Holy Quran. Tremendous, you know, knowledge that we won't just go blindly, you know, in a curriculum. We know our curriculum is based first on our religion and then mathematics and science. And now, like Imam Muhammad said, why we want you to be rich? Robert Kiyosaki says that we should teach our children financial literacy, increase their financial IQ. So when our children are learning these high material sciences, the you know, the chemistry and the astronomy and the biology and the physics, and getting into, you know, calculus, it won't just be something that is just standing by itself. We want to teach our children financial education. We want to have them read and learn about the Wall Street Journal, how this American, are we going to be here in America? Yes, inshallah, we're going to be here in America. Read the Wall Street Journal so we know how this American system works while our children's minds have this scientific education, scientific-based education. And then they'll be reading these financial publications and learning about and have speakers come from the scientific world and the financial world come to you, Clara Muhammad. This is the Clara Muhammad school that I envision, that and this is the vision that I have is Imam Muhammad. That's when Imam Muhammad first came into the leadership, he endeavored to start the school system, then he turned it over to other peoples. But I remember one of his first principles was, I think, an Indo-Pak or either from Bangladesh or India or Pakistan, a brother who had a degree in solid state physics, solid state electronics, solid state electronics. He was a brother who had a master's degree. He put him over the school. But our people at the time ran this brother off. And so I think the imam at that time said, well, I'll let the people, you know, they got my message. Let them start the, you know, keep the Clara Muhammad school system. But his first, as I recall, I think I'm correct, this was his first endeavor. He hired this brother who had a master's degree or a PhD degree in solid-state electronics to be the principal, because as a principal, he was going to influence the curriculum and the teachers, you see. But I guess our people at the time weren't educated to that degree in the sciences. But now we know anything we don't know, we could hire people. We could get people to come, you see. Another thing, too, that I was very impressed with during the Obama presidency was the Hour of Code. The Hour of Code. That's where it was an effort to teach the world about the power of learning to program computers. Instead of just using your computer to copy and paste, you know, copy and paste something and point and click, copy and paste, why not learn how to program the computers? So even President Obama asked the kid, hey, look at your phone. Instead of just using it for the phone, why don't you learn to program it? He says right there, look up the Hour of Code. Hour of Code. It still goes on. It started like in, I'd say, 2013. Every year, two Iranian brothers, the Partovi brothers, who are there, well, this one, Hadi Partovi, he was a programmer with I think Microsoft and Google, and then he noticed how our children weren't getting taught programming. You know, it's called coding. It's called coding. You know, it's programming a computer. You know what I mean? Because this. Like this one author who wrote a book says, either you program or be programmed. You know, either you learn to program or you'll be programmed, you see. So all this is the type of Clara Muhammad School that I want to build, inshallah. I'm going to build, Angeles, you know, Clara Muhammad School with these types of things that will really attract you know, a lot of our, you know, I'm going to sell the parents on this idea, on these ideas, alhamdulillah, because these ideas come from Imam W.D. Muhammad. You know, this is his vision. These ideas come from the Holy Quran, you see, alhamdulillah. And it's like all I'm doing is actually, I'm just repeating ideas of Imam Muhammad. I'm just really enjoying it. I've looked at so many of his videos and heard him talk so much that I'm just repeating it, but nobody else wanted to do it, or nobody else, you know, alhamdulillah, you know. I'm getting encouragement from a lot of brothers, well, yeah, several brothers. Say, brother, yeah, come on, let's let's do this school, let's get this school going, because we don't have one here in Los Angeles. We don't have a Clara Muhammad school here in Los Angeles, you see. We need Clara Muhammad school all over the United States, you see. So it's important that if our children are going to be 21st century educated, you know, with the right education, the correct education, you know what I mean? Our children need to be religiously taught, scientifically taught, which is the same thing, and financially taught, you see, for a real round. So we'll teach our children not so much to go get a job when they have this, they're, you know, to start companies. You know, that's why they're going to read the Wall Street Journal and business publications, all kind of business publications, you know, and hear a lot of talk about business and economics. And we're going to start right there with doing the best we can with our collective buying program, our collective buying program. You know, inshallah, we're going to organize, you know, we're organizing them here in the Los Angeles area, wherever you are. I'm not asking you to send me no money for our collective buying program, but organize it where you are. If you're in Baltimore, or if you're in Chicago, or if you're in Biloxi, Mississippi, wherever, you know the people there who you can trust. You know, organize. Get behind Imam Muhammad's collective buying program. Study it. You know, keep listening to this show. We're going to talk about it. In fact, we'll get some people. You know, look into the history of the collective buying program. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, send me your nickels and pennies. Send me your money. And I'll do, you know, and Imam, Honorable Elijah Muhammad made promises to us. You know, Imam taught us with AMCOP, American Muslim Committee to Purchase 100,000 Commodities. And so that was boiled down to AMCOP. You know what I mean? And we're going to, it's not over yet. It's not over. And then CPC, you know, Collective Purchasing Conference. It's not over. It's just beginning. Because we have a new angle now. We have a new bent on it. We're going to study Trump and Kiyosaki and read their books. You know what I mean? Why we want you to be rich. And we're going to do that, and we're going to mix it all up like it's supposed to be, the knowledge, inshallah. You know, that's what we're going to do, inshallah. That's what we're going to do. You know, because you man said, why we want you to be rich? What is collective? But if we don't have the money, we have the money collectively. We can all pool our dollars, tens and thousands, hundreds of dollars, and do something. You know, we could order goods from overseas, you know, and sell them here. That's one idea. Or we could buy real estate. You know what I mean? We could buy real estate. We could buy apartments. That's another thing that I think I mentioned this last week, that Robert Kiyosaki says, well, it's like Monopoly, he said. He says, you trade 4 greenhouses for 1 red hotel. He says, you trade 4 greenhouses. Well, you play a Monopoly, Robert Kiyosaki says, the one who wrote along with Trump, Why We Want You to Be Rich, or another publication. He says, you know, you play a Monopoly. He says, once you buy about 4 houses, you trade those houses for apartment building. You know, instead of having 4 houses, you have maybe a 50-unit apartment building. So he's laying things out. Apartment buildings, you know, that's passive income. And we keep investing. We keep, you know, pooling our money. We keep learning about business. We keep learning about economics and finances. And, you know, we'll do it. We're intelligent people. We're intelligent enough to follow Imam Muhammad for all these years. We're intelligent people. But we need to be a little braver. And get with his program, get with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's program. Imam Muhammad said one time, tell the people I'm re-entering into the economic program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, my father. You see, I'm re-entering into the economic program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So here we are. You know, Imam came, he dropped the message. He's no longer with us physically. He's with us in spirit. Alhamdulillah, he's here. Allah says, don't say that they're dead. You just don't perceive it. He's here. You see what I mean? Alhamdulillah. Let's get with his program. Let's get with the program. Alhamdulillah. Listen to this program as much as you can. Inshallah, I want to try to be on more times a week talking about Imam Muhammad's program. I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about our future, our children, Sheikh Muhammad schools. We don't want them in those public schools. We don't want our children in those public schools. We don't want that. That's how they learn all those bad things, Christmas and all that. You know what I mean? And they have to sing Jingle Bell and all that. They have to, or they'll look odd. You see what I mean? And then not only that, and then they'll have to learn how to, you know, sing all those songs that those rappers are talking about. You see, that's how they get those influences. You see, we don't want them in us. We want our own schools. We want our own schools. And we want to use vouchers like President Trump is talking about now with him and this sister named Betsy DeVos. Betsy DeVos. He has vouchers where we're paying our tax money anyway, we pay our tax money, we're going to get a portion of our tax money to give to the Tara Muhammad schools, or someone who's a Jew could take that money to $7,000. I heard that figure, $7,000 to give to a rabbinic school, a Jewish school, or a Christian school. Well, we have our Muslim school. We have Tara Muhammad school. We want to get our vouchers and give it to the school and pay our teachers, you see, and pay for our programs, pay for our books and our computers, you see what I mean, and everything we need to run a world-class school, world-class schools, you see what I mean? Alhamdulillah, that's what we need to be doing, and that's, inshallah, that's what we're going to do. Contact me at Muhammad@dslextreme.com. Muhammad, M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D, like Imam Muhammad told, and this one brother named Akhtar, he sure could tell the story, but how Imam Muhammad talked to President Clinton. He says, I'm the M-E-D. I'm the M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D. I'm the one with the medicine, the M-E-D, the medicine. I'm not the one with the M-A-D. I'm not the mad one. You know what I mean? Imam Muhammad, he always have a lovely way of saying things. But he told the president, Clinton at the time, he says, no, I'm the Muhammad with the medicine. I'm not the M-A-D, Muhammad, M-U-H-A-M-M-A-D. But there's one brother, this brother, Akhtar, I'm sure can tell that story. I've heard him say it lots of times. He loves to say it. Alhamdulillah. All right, Brother Muhammad, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Muhammad Khatib. You were making some points a little while back. Make your points, brother, and then say a dua and take us out until Saturday, brothers and sisters. As-salamu alaykum. I'm signing out now. As-salamu alaykum. Keep reading. Keep studying. Especially get that book, Why We Want You to Be Rich, by Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki. That's a good start, even though they got lots of other books we're going to go through. Order the Wall Street Journal for yourself. They got a special 12 weeks for like $12, and then after that it goes up to about maybe $40 a month. But, let's start our sojourn. Keep up with Betsy DeVos. Google her every day. Keep up, see what she's doing in your area. Is she coming to your city to talk to you about vouchers? And stay on your imam's case about turning that masjid into a school, you know, you know what I mean? We need to convert those masjids into schools. You see what I mean? Like Imam Muhammad said, you don't need a masjid, you need a school. And we could do our Juma and Talib at the school. But we need a school. Get our kids out the public school system. Alhamdulillah. And that's about it. I can't think of anything else I want to say right now. But Brother Muhammad, if you could finish your points. You was making some, I don't know if you remember it. You're making some points, but after that you could, take us out. And assalamu alaikum, brother. I really appreciate you.
Alhamdulillah. Walaikum assalam. Walaikum assalam. We appreciate you, my brother. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak on your show. Earlier you mentioned that you wanted me to be your co-host. We have to discuss that because I feel like, it's your show and I'm your guest speaker. Inshallah, you'll have many, many guest speakers to come on the show. But I'm very happy that at this point you've included me in what you're doing. I teach religion. I teach the Juma every week, and my hands are full with the study of the Arabic for that. But I appreciate what you're doing, and I've taken a lot of notes about what you've said. And one of the points I wanted to make, the last thing you said was, even if the imams feel it's a bit much for them, all the hard work they put into constructing masjids or building masjids or just meeting together to have masjids, but make sure and include the school. So if it's Masjid Muhammad and Clara Muhammad School or Masjid Muhammad and whatever school, because, some people may not be able to get through the red tape that it takes to secure the actual formal and legal title of a Clara Muhammad school or whatever. But if you have a Muslim effort, or I should say an Islamic effort, to teach the children, and you maybe you are not one of the people who is really into the inner core of a lot of our imam structure, or whatever, don't feel that you should not or could not function this religion and push and promote truth, because, as I mentioned earlier, Imam Muhammad was made by the Quran. He wasn't even made by his father. He inherited his father's hard work of developing a community and putting all that muscle into making all that effort, hard work, into developing a community. But Imam Muhammad inherited that. But what he also inherited was the mentality, the mindset, the knowledge of how to maintain that and keep the people together with his new ideas, his strong ideas. A lot of his ideas were very new and foreign to him, but he was coming from the Holy Quran. He had faith in Allah. And so because of that, and because most of us really want to love Allah, we really want to be religious people, because of that, we stuck with Imam Muhammad, and we began to understand his direction. But I personally know people who have titles, they actually have titles of Imam, and they have not really strongly embraced where he was coming from. But everybody, whether they have a title or not, have access to the Quran. We have access to Imam Muhammad's concepts and his thought, his logic, his language, and we should be living by that, because that's where Imam Muhammad really lives in. He doesn't live in the grave. He doesn't live in the body when he was alive. He didn't only live there. He lives in the great knowledge that he left with us. So we should be using that, but we should not be afraid to use it. And even if you don't call your association with him by a name that you can get the body structure in our community to approve, because you have to have paperwork for Claire Muhammad schools. You have to have paperwork for that. So even if you can't get everybody to support you in that, every Muslim should still have that spirit of sacrifice and that spirit to get us established and start having Islamic teaching and as much academic education as possible going into our children's heads from our perspective, from our community, from our families, our Muslim fathers and mothers and teachers and parents and imams. So that's basically what I wanted to say about that. Because a lot of people feel shut out or stuck. And you know how it is, people under Elijah Muhammad, and we inherited some super hard heads. And so when people come around that we don't know, or they're outside of our clique or whatever, we shut them out. That's one of the things that I believe that has happened to even you, Brother Amin, is that your desire to get the school started and get the support of some of the local leaders in the area, some of the people in the area, you were not accepted, you were not promoted. And I'm not trying to sound negative, because I always tell people that don't be negative, because you're going to have a lot of people around you that are going to help you be negative. So you be positive. In fact, be balanced, like you said earlier. Allah made the natural creation, and it's in balance. There's some things that's positive, some things that's negative, and they're working together in such a way as to be productive for life. So we want all of us to be strong in doing what Allah has blessed us to be able to do. If you're following the Quran and you're following the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, you have good heart, you have faith in Allah, then you are acceptable to the Muslim Ummah. So don't wait to be named or have the accolades or, you know, tapped on the shoulder to be approved. You have the approval of Allah. Now, if you don't obey Allah, how could you dare go to a man and say, approve me? One last thing I wanted to say is that the people of evil, the reason they hate Muslims, some Muslims say, why do they hate us? Why do they hate us? The people of evil, the criminals, they hate us because they can't make us into wrongdoers. They hate us because we won't become cannibals. They hate us because we won't become sinners against human development. They hate us because we won't accept homosexuality. You have a righteous family life. The order and the basis and the nature that Allah has made in creation, homosexuality is outside that. It's an attack on the family. For a woman to approach another woman or a man to approach another man, they are, without us realizing it, we may not realize it, but it's a subtle attack to push the male and female far apart, so that there won't be a natural connection or a natural desire
of man for a woman or woman for a man. So be very careful of homosexuality. It's way more evil than the surface of it, of this cross-dressing and going in a girl's bathroom with a man or whatever, which is abominable by itself. But what we have to do as Muslims, the Quran, Allah will pull us up with the Quran, knowledge of the Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the great teachings of Imam Muhammad. Allah will pull us up. So we have to hover. We have to hover above, high above the wicked ones. We have to hover high above them in society and look down and watch, be careful of their germs and their disease. We have to hover above them until we see that there's an opportunity for us to get established. We have to, like the Noah, we have to be on the ship, and then when the waters recede, after everybody dead, get through drowning, the criminals, after they get through drowning, after they get through being destroyed, then we come and walk on this dry land and do what we're supposed to be doing. So look for opportunities. Look for good people, dry land. Look for good people like Brother Amin, mountains who are safe to come down on, safe to land on, and get involved in society and then get ourselves established. It's not going to happen overnight. Brother Amin mentioned people, and it took thousands of years for some of these different luminaries and smart people and mathematicians and explorers and different ones to make their mark in history. But the believers, by believing in Allah, Allah pulls you up quick. He pulls you up quick, fast, and in a hurry. And you, if looking with the vision of the Quran, you will see what you're supposed to be doing with your life, and you will see what you will see right from wrong, in other words. It's called the criteria, that which shows you clearly right from wrong. So, alhamdulillah, thank you for listening today. And we really enjoyed the program and the teachings of Brother Amin and the direction he's taken to get us involved in business and get us involved in the accumulation of material wealth and get us established in our education and advise all of us and get all of us established in education, advise us to do more with the future for our children, get them involved in Islamic education. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is my last point. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the parent has a duty to get his children Islamic education. He has a duty for his child to have Islamic education. Alhamdulillah. We're going to close with the dua. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We seek refuge with Allah against Satan and rejected enemies. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Malik yawmiddin. Master of the day of judgment. Iyaka nabudu wa iyaka nasta'in. Thee alone do we worship, and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way. Sirat al-Ladina and Amta alayhim. Raylam al-Dubi alayhim wa la-Dawarim. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. May Allah forgive me if I made a mistake in the dua. I speak Arabic and English, and sometimes I'm thinking in English and in Arabic at the same time. I might skip a sentence. But anyway, may Allah bless each and every one of you. And keep your studies up, brothers and sisters. Learn the Arabic, because the life, the life spirit, the spirit of Allah is in the Arabic. Even though he can reach you through anything he desires, the Quran was revealed in Arabic, and it is guide, it is healing, and it's mercy on all the believers. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.